Welcome to Small Time Leaders, a 10-minute podcast about how giving credit to others can help you experience more success and meaning in your leadership and life. My name is Michael Allen Tate, but my friends call me Mike. I work with accomplished business people who want to design a personal strategy to make their next big move their best move. In each of my podcasts, you will hear a successful leader talk about a couple of people in their lives who did or said a small thing that was so on point and profound that it still impacts how they live and work today, which I've come to call small-time leader moments. The book of Proverbs tells us that laughter does good like a medicine. My guest today is a Hall of Fame speaker who works with leaders in the field of medicine. His name is David Glickman. David helps our essential medical professionals enjoy the healing power of a good laugh. David has been a professional speaker and entertainer for over 20 years and has presented over 2,000 programs. Before David became a professional speaker, he was a stand-up comic. He worked with everyone from the Beach Boys to Steve Martin and appeared on Evening at the Improv and several other national television shows. In the late 1990s, David moved from full-time professional speaking. Now he specializes in humor and helps find what's funny in many healthcare organizations to whom he speaks. In 2011, David received the Certified Speaking Professional designation from the National Speakers Association, which is a recognition achieved by only 10% of all the professional speakers in the world. David is also an author. He's written a great book entitled Speaking of Funny, 77 Ways to Add Humor to Any Presentation. Well, David, it's good to have you back. Really appreciate your sharing your story about Cheryl Nicholson and how she changed your life with that one suggestion of get the right clients or get better clients. So before we start today, I always, you know, I asked you last time what you were grateful for. Anything right now that's on your mind about what you feel blessed about that you'd share with us before we begin?
Oh, absolutely. I am always grateful that I'm able to make a living in what I would do even for free. Every morning I say to myself, I am so blessed that I'm able to monetize these skills that I've, you know, just been gifted. And I never, ever take that for granted, wow. Ever.
You're a blessed man to love what you do. Thanks for sharing that. So tell us about that other, I know you've had a lot of people impacted your life, but who's the other person you're going to share the story about their small-time leader impact on you?
This one is actually a family member. It's my grandmother. My grandmother on my dad's side, who was Rose Glickman. And when I was 14 years old, Mike, I was my grandmother's ghostwriter. It was something I was not expecting at all. My family lived in Miami, Florida, and my grandmother lived on Miami Beach, which is about 15 minutes away from the mainland of Miami where we were. And she would come over every week and have Sunday dinner with us. I knew that my grandmother was a very prolific writer, and she would perform these customized, funny poems in the condominium. She lived in a large high-rise condominium on Miami Beach. And every week there'd be some occasion, someone's birthday, someone's anniversary, some special occasion of some resident. And she would write these custom poems and recite them and have the audience laughing and laughing and laughing. And it got to the point where everyone knew she was going to do it. And, you know, it was, oh, quiet, quiet. Rose is going to do the poem. Rose is going to do the poem. So as she moved into her late 70s, this kind of got taxing on her. So that's the backstory here. One day she comes over to our house for Sunday dinner and she pulls me aside. She says, David, you know, I do these funny poems. It's really getting taxing on me. She said, I know you're very creative. I bet you could write these for me. I said, I've never done that. I don't know. She said, no, you actually have the creativity and humor that could do this. Would you mind helping me? I said, well, sure, Grandma, I'll try.
It's your grandmother, right?
Right. I'm not going to say no. So she said, I've got one coming up this week. here's all the information. And I took some notes. And again, Mike, she would customize it, you know, and I'd find out, you know, what city they're from, what the hobbies were, who the grandchildren were, all of the important points that would then become these rhyming couplets make up the foundation of this poem. So she gave me the information for this anniversary coming up. And I said, give me half an hour. So I went in my room. I wrote while she chatted with my parents. And then I came out later. I said, Grandma, I think I've got it. So I gave her the poem and she said, I'll give it a try. So she came back the next week and she said, David, it was a hit. It was a huge hit. And she pulled me aside and she said, here's a $20 bill. She said, let's just keep this between us. No one needs to know that you're writing these for me. I said, fine. I wasn't expecting any money, Mike. I would have done this. My grandmother, I would have done this for free. She said, no. You take the money. Take the money. So this went on for years, Mike. This went on probably for a decade. You know, even as I went into college, she would call me and give me the particulars for that week's poems. And I would, you know, write it and then, you know, quickly give it to her. What this did for me was give me amazing confidence that I was creative and could write something, you know, that would end up being so powerful. And the reason I know it was powerful is she actually took me once or twice to the building to one of these parties where she recited it. And, you know, again, it was our secret. It was our secret. She never said, this is my grandson who wrote this. It was just, you know, this is my grandson, David. So I got to see the audience laughing at all the words I had written.
Well, and you came out of the box being able to do this. I mean, the first one you wrote was good enough for her to use. That's amazing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Is that just something you're gifted with? And
I believe that there's some kind of genetic component to it. Because my father's very creative. My mother is very creative. You know, my grandmother, I think there's a genetic component to it. It opened my eyes to a few things. It taught me the power of customization. What I mean by that is people will laugh more at something that's about them than something that's generic. From this process of being Grandma's ghostwriter, I learned my mantra, which is, the more specific the humor, the more terrific the humor. On our last podcast, you might recall our story. We talked about that I work in healthcare a lot doing keynotes. My keynotes are customized very, very specifically. The humor is about the healthcare industry. I don't want to use the word perceived, but it is accepted as more funny than it possibly is because you're talking to the sweet spot of what people understand.
Yeah. And you took the time to really listen to people. You're really indicating, I listen to you. I value you because I know so much about you. I took the time to prepare.
Absolutely. People feel, if they're listened to, they feel valued. And many times now, in my adult life, when I finish a keynote, the audience will say, are you sure you don't work here? You know, how could you possibly know this much about us? But, you know, Grandma taught me about the research. You know, I said, Grandma, the better I can write these for you is based on how much research you can tell me. Again, you know, the city name, the pets, the hobbies, the careers, you know, all of that information.
How's that played into your career?
Well, the other thing it helped with is that all of these poems were composed of rhyming couplets and rhymes. I learned from my own career the power of rhymes. And what I mean by that is I don't do poems now on stage, but I do song parodies. I take popular songs and then write parody lyrics that are customized about whomever that client might be. Well, songs have to have rhymes in them. Most songs, 90% of songs have rhymes. And our ears are tuned into the power of rhymes. We smile when we hear words that rhyme. So I learned by writing these rhyming couplets, powerful. I watch it. It's visceral, Mike, in the audience. When I hit a word and then the rhyme that comes after it, you see the audience sit up. You see the smiles. I've written over 1,300 song parodies now. Now, I probably only wrote maybe 50 poems for my grandmother. I never kept track of how many. And I never kept track of how much money she paid me. I just knew that it set the foundation for learning the customization and learning the power of rhymes.
And I do a lot of work with people with careers, and I tell them the number one influence on their career would be their parents or their relatives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, David, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I am going to put you on the spot. Could you sing us one of your songs? I know you don't have your grandmother's poems anymore, but a little example of that for us. Would you mind doing that?
Sure. So here is one that I can share with you, Mike. This is one that leaders can especially relate to. They've all dealt with employees not showing up for work necessarily, and I think every one of them has had to deal with this. Tonight we're fine, we're staffed completely. Things are running so smooth and sweetly. But then I moan, 'cause I just heard that phone. And I'm thinking, will we be short-staffed tomorrow? And it goes on and on from there, but you get the idea.
All right, guys, thanks for sharing that with us. And I'm watching you play your piano while you're doing that. It's pretty cool. David, thanks so much for sharing about Rose and your grandmother and how she laid the foundation for your work and career. And anything you'd like to share with us as takeaways or from this experience for you?
Well, and I think the other thing that Grandma taught me was the possibility of writing for other people. I always thought, well, I would just write for myself. But she opened my eyes to, it doesn't just have to be for you. You can help the world with the talents you've been blessed with.
I know folks would like to get in touch with you, and I have some information on the show notes, but would you tell people if they'd like to get in touch with you how to do the best way to do that?
I am easily reached. My email is david@davidglickman.com. Pretty easy to remember that. And my website's davidglickman.com. They can always find me there.
Well, enjoyed so much your time with us. Thank you, David, and you have a good rest of your week.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you so much for listening. I'd like to leave you with a thought. I believe that we live in a small world that often feels out of control, but I also believe there is a big God who is in control and who speaks to us in a still, small voice. And if we just listen, we may be granted the occasion to make a positive difference in someone's life. So I challenge you to be a small-time leader today and help someone see themselves in a brand new way. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. For more information about my firm, blog, products, today's special guest, please go to michaelallentate.com or smalltimeleaders.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Small Time Leader podcast so you never miss an episode. And join our Facebook group for more exclusive content. I'll see you on the next episode of Small Time Leaders.